I well remember when we sent Eileen out all those years ago, an amazing story. She just wrapped up a career as a teacher here in the Bay Area, and then she decides she wants to go overseas in this way. Amazing journey, amazing woman. Well, we are finishing our series in Galatians today. Next week, we're going to start a series in the Gospel of Luke. Dan Westman is going to kick us off there. But today, we're going to bring Galatians to an end. Now, I've had the privilege on three occasions to go to Florence to visit the Accademia Museum and see Michelangelo's The David, the magnificent David. And on the first two occasions that I went, I was especially captured by the face of David. Look at this. So there's a lot that is in that face, and Michelangelo is trying to capture multiple emotions at the same time. And what he did was he depicted David at the moment of decision, at the moment that he decided that he was going to fight Goliath. And one of the emotions that he was trying to capture was confidence, because he had every reason to believe, that is David, that he was going to emerge victorious over Goliath. And we know that biblically that's the case. Biblically, historically, we know that David believed that he was going to defeat Goliath. He's looking out into the distance, into the future with confidence. As you look out onto your world, what are you seeing? What are you hearing? And what are you feeling as you look out onto your world? Galatians chapter 6, beginning at verse 11. See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Paul says, look at the large letters that I'm writing with. We don't know whether he wrote the letter himself, may have spoken through dictation to a secretary. He could have written the whole thing himself. At any point, what we know is that he's got the pen in his hand at the end, and he's writing with large letters to highlight the importance of what he is saying. He's talking about those who want to make a good showing in the flesh. These would be these false teachers who have come to Galatia, these Jewish false teachers who are trying to force the Mosaic law upon the Galatians, especially the Gentile Galatians who have come to Christ, especially forcing them to get circumcised according to the Mosaic law, which was given to Israel for a time. They are trying to make a good showing in the flesh, he is saying. And they are trying to avoid persecution, being persecuted for the cross of Christ, because the cross of Christ can get you persecuted. It can get you persecuted by the Jews, who view this whole Jewish thing as a dangerous offshoot. It can get you persecuted by the Romans if you believe in the cross of Christ, because how do the Romans stay in charge? They, of course, crucified rebels. They executed rebels. They put them on their crosses. And if you say that, hey, they executed this one particular person, and this one particular person reversed the whole thing and rose from the dead, that takes away their power, doesn't it? So you can get persecuted by the Romans also for the cross of Jesus Christ, and these false teachers wanted to avoid all of that. What are they doing? They're focusing on externals, an external mark. Get circumcised for the males. Become Jews. Become as Jewish as possible. Convert to Judaism and be Jews. Be as Jewish as possible, even if you're Gentiles. What's Paul concerned about? Not an external mark, but the internal work of the Holy Spirit in the deep regions of their hearts. That's what Paul is concerned about. Not externals, but internals. Internal realities. And the mysteries and the beauty and the wonder of what the Spirit is doing in the hearts of men and women and children, not some kind of external mark. What do we care about? Making a good showing or doing good? Let's look at the last few verses that we looked at last week, and Paul says this, and let us not grow weary of what? Doing good. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good. What do we care about? Making a good showing or doing good? Years ago, Karen and I were involved in a co-op preschool. And once a month or so, they brought in some kind of guest speaker. And on one particular month, they brought in Fred Luskin. I'm not sure why he was brought in. He was an expert on forgiveness. And I'm not even sure what he lectured on. But he comes in and he starts to lecture. I don't remember all of the things that were happening, but he was quite a character. He was dressed in sweatpants and he just started talking. And here's what I remember him saying. So he said he's a world expert in the field of forgiveness. He's not a believer in Christ, by the way. And he says to all of us who are sitting there, I am considered one of the top two or three experts in my field in the entire world. I am at the top of the food chain. Do you know what it counts for? It counts for nothing. He didn't use the word nothing, by the way. That's the kind of word I can use in this for this particular audience. It counts for nothing. He says, you know what counts? Being a good person. That's what counts. And I'm sure not a few of these high-achieving parents who wanted to rear high-achieving children were maybe taken aback just a little bit. You get to the top of the food chain and it means nothing? That's what he said. What counts? Being a good person. That's what he said. So these false teachers who are coming to Galatia, they are zealous for the law, right? Zealous for the Jewish law. Well, not so much. Look at verse 13. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. Far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Well, Paul says these people who are foisting the law upon you, they don't even keep the law themselves. They don't even care about the law except for maybe one particular aspect of the law, circumcision, and maybe food laws, and maybe Sabbath keeping. They care about these sort of cultural things on the outside so that you can look good, so that they can look good. That's what they care about. They don't really care about the law. They don't even keep the law themselves. It's as if they're just trying to check a box or two. Okay, we're circumcised. You get circumcised. We're all good. They don't really care about what's going on in the heart. And so they just want to be able to boast in like what they've accomplished, what they forced other people to do, almost like as if they could force people to do something, then that's some sort of trophy that they've got. But Paul said, far be it from me to boast in anything, to revel in anything except for the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross of Jesus Christ relativizes all boasting. And Paul can say that because of the cross, because of his faith in Christ coming to the cross, he's been crucified to the world and the world has been crucified to him so that the world no longer has a grip on him. And indeed, the world used to have a grip on him when he was a Jew and he was persecuting followers of Christ. He was adhering to the world and the world values. Well, what does the cross do? The cross defeats the world. The cross defeats the world values, and therefore Paul is an adherent of the cross, and that's what he's going to boast in. He's going to boast in the cross, which means that he himself has nothing to boast about in himself. So, what do we care about? Having something to boast about or the cross of Jesus Christ? Brennan Manning writes about an acquaintance who says this, I can't stand the cross. It is a denial of all that I value in life. I am a proud man, sensual. I seek pleasure. The cross reproaches me. It says, you're wrong. Your life must take this shape. This is the only true interpretation of life, and life is true only when it takes this form. He is absolutely right. And he discards the whole thing. Why? Because he wants to have something to boast about himself. He wants pleasure himself. Therefore, he throws the cross away. He will have nothing to do with the cross. He's not interested, of course, in boasting in the cross, only in boasting in himself. What then matters? And here in the book of Galatians, we arrive at the crux of the matter. Verse 15, for neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew. It doesn't matter if you're a Gentile, which is everything that isn't a Jew. That all that is irrelevant. Paul says what matters is new creation. So for us, it doesn't matter what we are culturally. It doesn't matter what we are ethnically, as it concerns our spiritual lives, of course. That all of that stuff is irrelevant. Being a Jew doesn't matter. Being a Gentile doesn't matter. Being Italian doesn't matter. Being an American doesn't matter. Being a Nigerian doesn't matter. It all doesn't matter spiritually unless you make it matter. Then it matters, and it matters against faith in Christ. Paul here is echoing what he's already said in Galatians 5, 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. So in Galatians 5, 6, what counts? Circumcision, no. Uncircumcision, no. Being a Jew, no. Being a Gentile, no. Faith. Now we get into chapter 6. What matters? New creation. Ah, faith, allegiance to Christ, that's what gets you into the new creation. You believe in Christ, you give your allegiance to Christ, the Spirit takes up residence in your life, and you become a new creation. And the new creation actually begins with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is new life. This is new creation. Look carefully at the Gospel of John, 20th chapter, in that beautiful description of the resurrection of Christ. Where does it take place? He's placed in a garden tomb. That echoes the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden, this new garden, this first man was placed in that garden. And there is a new tomb now in the Garden of Gethsemane, or not the Garden of Gethsemane, that particular garden. And Jesus is placed in that new tomb. He's the new man, and he's resurrected from the dead. And on the first day of the week, while it's still dark, Mary Magdalene comes to the tomb. It's a dawning of a new creation. Christ rises from the dead. That's a resurrection. You put your faith in Jesus Christ. That's a resurrection. You become a new creation. The church, the Jew plus Gentile church, the people of God, that's a new creation. And all of this, of course, anticipates and looks forward to the new creation, the new heavens and the new earth, which will be consummated when Christ returns. Therefore, you are a new creation if you believe in Christ, and you will inherit the new creation. Forget, therefore, about making a good showing. Forget about boasting. All of that counts for nothing. What counts? New creation. And the new creation has invaded this creation with the coming of Christ in the Spirit. A new world has broken into the old world. And this is what I discovered when I came to Christ when I was 16 years old. I really didn't know that this is what I discovered, but this is what I discovered. There was a whole other world overlapping in this world, and I didn't know about it. Then I got exposed to it. I got exposed to the gospel. I got exposed to the people of God, and I began seeing things, and I gave my life to Christ, and I began seeing things and hearing things and feeling things that I had never seen or heard or felt before. And I felt back then as if I were entering a whole new world and discovering a whole new world that I did not know existed. And now I know that's exactly what happened. I became a new creation, and I became aware of new creation all around me. And I was blown away. How then should we live? Verse 16. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. What rule is this that he's talking about? This. Circumcision doesn't matter. Uncircumcision doesn't matter. Being a Jew doesn't matter. Being a Gentile doesn't matter. What matters? Live by this rule. New creation is what matters. And this word here that is translated and would be better translated even. Peace and mercy be upon them, even the Israel of God. The Israel of God is composed of all those who believe in Christ, both Jews and Gentiles. There is, of course, another Israel today in the Middle East. That is not the Israel of God. The Israel of God is right here and at the church down the road and the churches all over the world. That's the Israel of God, the Jews and the Gentiles who believe in the Jewish Messiah. That is the Israel of God. As Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, to the Gentiles there, you were once alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, but now you have been brought near so that you become part of the Israel of God. Therefore, walk by this rule. Making a good showing doesn't matter. Having something to boast about doesn't matter. What matters? New creation. I remain today just as blown away by the new creation as I was when I was 16 years old. In fact, I am more blown away because I've had so many years of being involved with the people of God. I've had so many years in the scriptures. I've had so many years of the Spirit of God opening these truths to me so that I can say, isn't it awesome? As I look out onto the world. Isn't it awesome? So there is much to be discouraged about as you look out on the world, right? If you just look at the facts and the circumstances and all the stuff on the ground, indeed, there is much to be discouraged about. But there is another world. And I see the beauty of the pearl of great price shimmering for those in search of true riches. I hear the music of the trumpet of the angels sounding for the dead that rise, and I feel the love of God in my heart where the Spirit is crying, Abba, Father. And every once in a while, you have to say to yourself, sometimes in defiance of the difficulty of the days, it's great to be alive. Sometimes, being aware of a new creation, you have to say to yourself, no matter how difficult the days, it's great to be alive. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, know this, no matter how difficult the days ahead, every day you're moving closer to the day when you will be more alive than you have ever been. And if you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ, give your allegiance to him and you will come alive in the most important sense possible. For the third time in September, I visited the Academia along with my family and saw the David yet again. And yes, I looked at this face once more. I was taken by his face. But this time I spent a lot of time on the other side. Look at this photo. I spent about 30 minutes from this vantage point, knowing that he's looking out with confidence. And so now I was looking over his shoulder, as it were, out into the world, looking with him. What does he see off in the distance? He knows Goliath is waiting for him. He knows the giant is waiting for him. What do I see as I'm looking over the shoulder with David out into the future? What's out there? All kinds of giants. All kinds of havoc-wreaking giants. And what did I feel as I looked out onto that world with David, with the help of Michelangelo, with the help of the Holy Spirit? Confidence. That's what I felt. I felt confident. Despite what's going on in the world, the new creation has broken into this world. We have the Holy Spirit. We're heading toward the new creation, the culmination of the new creation. I felt confident. Can you look out on your world with confidence. What are you seeing? What are you hearing? What are you feeling? You are living also in a different world if you believe in Christ. Can you see that world? Can you feel that world? Can you believe in that world? Can you hear it? Because it is here among us and should give us confidence. Well, Paul makes an end. Verse 17, from now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. Paul now has reached the point where he feels as if he has sufficiently countered the false teaching of the false teachers who are trying to impose circumcision on the Galatians. And now he says, hey, you want to talk about circumcision? You want to talk about circumcision and that sort of being a sign of ownership and that being a mark of ownership and yet that being kind of a scar on your body for the men? You want to talk about that? Let me talk about my marks. How did he get those marks? He was beaten for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You want to see a mark of ownership? Let me take off my shirt. Let me show you my back. I belong to Jesus. Those are the kind of marks that count if you really want to make a case that you should have some kind of mark that indicates that you're a child of God. Finally, he says, he bids them grace. This is where he started. He bid them grace at the beginning. He bids them grace at the end. So have I gotten to the point in my teaching of Galatians where I have sufficiently countered the false teaching of cultural conversion and cultural conformity? I hope so. And now, just as Paul made an end, I myself will make an end after 14 weeks studying the book of Galatians. What does Paul want to do? He wants to give us the gospel. What does the gospel do? The gospel, of course, saves us, and it brings us into relationship with God. Not only that, it also involves us with the people of God. It not only brings us to God, it brings us together as the people of God so that we constitute one family, Jew, Gentile, worldwide, multi-ethnic, multi-generational, one people, one family. This unification in Christ of all the ethnicities is not an optional add-on to the gospel. It is at the very heart of the gospel. Now, preaching Galatians from start to finish this year has been a great gift to me. I was not expecting it. It came to me by surprise. So those are good gifts, right? When you're not expecting something and it comes to you as a surprise. It's been a gift to me to preach Galatians. I hope it has been a gift to you. God does crazy, beautiful stuff. I leave you not with a verse from Galatians, but from a verse from Malachi, Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, which captures the ethos of the book of Galatians. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Brothers and sisters at Peninsula Bible Church, amen.